You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The pasuk we're going to analyze is pasuk Yizayim. We read with you the pasuk and point out certain phenomenon and get right into the topic very quickly. The pasuk says, "Erenu v'lo ata." I see something happening in the future, but it's not immediately now. Ashurena, which is another word from re'iyah, but ashurena means a long-term, far away re'iyah. V'lo karav, and it's not close. Darav koichav miYaakov. A star is going to shoot out from Yaakov. Kam shevet Misrael. A person with a scepter is going to come from amongst Klal Yisrael. Umachatz pasei Moav. He's going to literally smite the corners of the Moabite nations. V'karka kol b'nei sheis, and literally destroy many sections of the b'nei sheis. V'haya Edom Yeresha, v'haya Yeresha Seyer, Oivav Yisrael Eisachayol. Edom's going to be basically inherited. They're going to take over the places where Edom inherited in this world. All of these places are going to be taken by Klal Yisrael. What I want to mention to you, Rabbi Isai, is that in actuality, there is a nevuah, which Chazal say is merumas over here, and that is the following. When it came to the Bris Bein Hasan, the Rabban Hashem had promised Klal Yisrael in the actual part in Lech Lecha, delineating the nations of the Canaanite nations, there are 10 umos mentioned over there. When you have in Parshas Maaseh at the end of Parsha and Sefer Bamidbar, the map of Eretz Yisrael, which in fact, Rabbi Yisrael, I even did you a favor. I even noticed that in the map of Eretz Yisrael, the biblical map, and this map is based, last page, Rabbi Yisrael, is based upon the borders of Eretz Yisrael as they're depicted in Parshas Maaseh. So you have, Mamish, this is biblical Eretz Yisrael as the Psukim delineate in Parshas Maaseh. There are, however, certain areas on the right-hand side, namely Ammon u'Moav and Edom, which initially were part of the 10 countries, 10 nations that live in this specific area. The Kenazi, Admoni, these are three nations that are called by different names on the biblical map over here. And what Chazal tell us that even though initially Klal Yisrael were not given Ammon u'Moav and Edom as part of the initial Yerusha, Ammon u'Moav were given to Lot as a schar for his bimalav Avraham, and Edom was given to Esav's progeny as a schar of the kibbutz of Avim, the stuff he did when it came to his father Yitzchak. There's even an Issa deraisa initially in the Torah for us to do any military activities to grab away Ammon u'Moav and Edom from their respective inhabitants. But Chazal say at the end of days, when you're going to have displacement of populations, which took place during Bayis Rishon, where you had the various Malachim coming and displacing the various population centers of the Mideast and switching populations, the ethnic origin Ammon u'Moav and Edom were lost. That's why Bizman is there. We can no longer identify anybody when it comes to ethnic origin, because Basa Cherv Ubilbo Kola Omiskulo. There's a Mishnah Masechtas Yedayim that mentions this explicitly, and the Rambam passes that in Hilchos Malachim. Our Kabbalah is at the end of days when it comes to biblical Eretz Yisrael of the future. Eretz Yisrael will include not only that which is in the black lines, which is the Parshas Maaseh, but Ammon u'Moav Edom will become part of Eretz Yisrael at the end of time, B'mos HaMashiach. What is interesting, Rabbi Yisai, is this nevuah that we just mentioned talks about somebody coming around and causing a total upheaval at the end of days, inheriting all these lands, all these areas, incorporating them to Klal Yisrael, ultimately destroying our adversaries. If you look in Pasuk Chaf, V'yaris Amalek V'yisam Hashav Yom HaReishas Goyim Amalek Achris HaOved, the concept of the destruction of the Amalekim, the Timchasech Samalek, the Moach HaEmecha is Merumiz in these specific Pesukim. So this is a very historical piece. What we're going to see tonight, our Kaddish deals with, is what is the phraseology in Pasuk Yizayin, which seems to be very duplicative. There's the Kefela Shalasha. Erev Olavata, Asher Erev Olakarev is actually saying the same exact thing. I see something happening in the future, but it's not close. Why mention it twice? Also, the interesting parallelism. Darach Kachem Yaakov, stars are going to come out of the Jewish people, A shevet means a rulership of a scepter of a king is going to come from Klal Yisrael and is going to cause ultimately the destruction of the Umas Olam, who tried to destroy us throughout the centuries. Destruction of the anti-Semites and the divine payback, etc., etc. What does Derech Kochem Yaakov mean? What is Klal Yisrael Yisrael? What is the difference between them? And why are they mentioned that way? Also, what's interesting is Derech Kochem Yaakov, Kom Shem Yisrael, two different names of Yaakov and Klal Yisrael mentioned over here. What's the reason behind this? With these little questions, Rabbi Yisai, we're now going to come turn the page to page number 3. On page number 3, where I purposely did put a little alphabet letters to allow to show you where to move quickly to where I want to move, I wanted to look at 3A on the right-hand side of the page, the second column. So, quite obviously, what bothered the Orach Chaim HaKadosh are the Mila Shainos, the Kafal Shainos that I just pointed out to you. And that's what he basically asks in the first 3 lines. But now we come to the most crucial part of tonight's shiur. Right where it says, the line beneath that, Kol HaNavuah, the entire Pasuk, he says, is referring to Melech HaMashiach, is an allusion to the activities of the Melech HaMashiach. And if you want to have a Talmudic context to relate this Pasuk to, I relate it explicitly to the Gemara and Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadiches Amar Aleph. He's going to make a connection now, Rabbi Yisai, between the Pasuk and Parshas Balak and the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin. I've learned with you many times. But before I go into Orach Chaim HaKadosh, I want to first refresh your mind with the Gemara to see what he does with it. Turn now to page 4 momentarily. On page 4 momentarily, in quotation 4c, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us there's an interesting machlokes of exactly how the ultimate gula is going to take place. He first mentions on the underlying lines, Amar Yochanan ein ben davar bo ela b'darsha kula zakai o kulu chayiv, which means when it comes to Mos HaMashiach, there are two types of possibilities. Chazal have a Kabbalah going back from Har Sinai that can take place. It could be Mos HaMashiach will be generated by a dar of Kula Zaka of Klal Yisrael being Shem Mitzvah Mitzvahs in its overwhelming majority. It could be Chas V'Shalom Klal Yisrael will be in a matzav at the end of time that the Dar will be Kula Chai, which means the majority of the Jews will be not Shem Mitzvah Mitzvahs. That's called a Dar Shevat, a Dar that's basically Shekula Chayiv. And these two types of Geula, they bring Psukim to Merama, is where we see this alluded to in the Tanakh itself. And that's the first Yisod, which means historically we have two possibilities of how Gula is going to take place. Number 2, we now come to a Pasuk, Rabbi Yisai, which is quoted from Sefer Yeshaya HaNavi. Skip where it says, Omer Alexander, Yerushu ben Levi Ramuk Siv. What is the meaning of the following Pasuk? Be'ita ukesiv achishena. The Torah says in Sefer Yeshaya, when is the Mashiach going to come? Be'ita, in its proper time, achishena, a sped up area and time frame. So the Gemara says, these are two contradictory terms. That's what he says, Ramu. And what's the resolution? Zachu, if Klal Yisrael azoche, which means the Dar Shekula Zaychai, achishena, I'll make the Gula come earlier, quicker. Lo zachu, if it's dar shekula chayiv, it will be beit that the divine time I said, the last moment in time in world history, that the gula can take place. Now what's interesting, Rabbi Yisai, is we therefore see the theme of two type of gulos is merumis in a pasuk in Yeshay, and both possibilities are based upon zachu lo zachu. Comes along the next piece on Alexandria, Rabbi Yishuv and Levi Rami, another stira. See, what pasuk in Daniel says, if a Daniel, for Oru, im anane shemaya, kaba'inish asa, that the gula will take place like clouds are flying in the sky, people will be flying in the sky as the miraculous nature of the ultimate redemption at the end of time. Uksiv, another pasuk says, Rabbi Sin Zechariah, ani roifer al chamar, that the ultimate coming of Mashiach will be like a poor man riding on a donkey. What's the pshat? Im zacho, if it's a dar shakula zakai dar v'schus, the gula will be kanani yeshmaya. It'll be like the miraculous people flying in the air with clouds. Lo zacho, if it's a generation that's chayav is lo zacho, it's going to be kani arechav al hachamar. So we therefore see from this Gemara, Rabbi Yisai, that in the theme of the Gemara, there is a Kabbalah based upon the Nevi'im, that the two types of tsuras of Geula, one a dar of Zakai, of Kula Zakai, Rubik Kula, a dar of Chiev, Larubo, of people are Chayev, and not Shemitev, it's just assimilation, acculturation. Both are viable forms of Geula according to Hashgafas Satira. Number two, the ramifications of the implementation of this is crucial and the following. If it's a Darsha Zachu, the Gemara seems to imply, based upon Daniel, it's going to be a miraculous type of Geula. If it's a Darsha Lav Zachu, the Mashul is Ka'ani HaRechel V'chamar. When a person's riding a donkey, you feel every bump in the road. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Now, what I wanted to know is that, before I go into Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, even the Vilna Gaon and other Gedolim who dealt with this Gemara point out that there's no question the two types of gulas. If they want to give a mashal in world history of a simon, of a practical difference between a gula shezach and gula shelo zachu, some from the mashal, the Vilna Gaon says, I'm going to give you a contrast of two gulas that Klal Yisrael experienced in the past. Contrasting gulas Mitzrayim to the gula we had when it comes to Purim. In both cases, the ultimate culmination of those gulas was entry into Eretz Israel. The first one, Ayyadei Yeshua. The second one, Ayyadei Ezer Unechemiah, as is portrayed in the Tanakh itself. What is the difference between these two gulas? So says the Vilna Gaon, a gula shezachu means a supernatural, miraculous redemption, like the Nisim and Flaws we saw when it came to Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. Shalai b'derech hateva. That's a gula shezachu, and that's why the Gemara says, like a person flying in the air like clouds, miracles she'ein kamayu. What's a gula shelo zachu? If you think about the miracles that led up to the ultimate bayis sheni, even the gula of Purim, it wasn't miraculous with open miracles in front of your eyes. It was a gula b'derech hateva in the format of nister, nistam nistarim. Mash'en came by Gulas Mitzrayim is Nisim Nigla'im. This is Nisim Nistarim. In retrospect, seeing all the chain of events, when we read the Megillah on Purim, we're able to see how the Rabbeinu Shem behind the scenes made sure this person was at this point in time, and the events took place and ultimately added up to an ultimate redemption taking place. That's called the Gula Shelo Zachu. Number two, Gula Shelo Zachu, not only are the Nisim Nistarim, but you need human hishtadlis to accomplish that gula. If your person's ever learned Masechtas Megillah in a shtark away, Rabbi Yisai, the things I'm always inspired with every time I learn that Gemara and teach that Gemara, is how much human hishtadlis Mordechai and the Chum made behind the scenes to make sure that Klal Yisrael would be saved, that a gula would take place, that redemption of Eretz would take place. There were Nevi'im in that time, Rabbi Yisai. Tremendous Nevi'im, the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah was in existence, but they felt in order to facilitate their redemption and getting Eretz Yisrael, they had to be mishtadl with the Malchus and therefore impact upon them. Give us the right to return to Eretz Yisrael. Give us the right to save ourselves. There was human hishtadlus. That's an Enes Nister, and that's called with the concept of the cooperation of the Malchus to facilitate your redemption. You need human beings, Jew and non-Jew, working together to facilitate b'derech hateva, the gula. In Gulas Mitzrayim, Rabbi Yisrael says, anivu lo malach. The Rabbanu Shem Dima let malachim to be involved in the gula shel b'derech hateva. Anivu lo malach. Klai were therefore told, you can't even go out on the night of Pesach from the Seder table to the outside. You sit passively. I'll do all the miracles shel b'derech hateva for divine reasons we discussed many, many months ago in a different shir. So if that's the case, says the Gaon, we therefore have at the end of days two types of possibility of the ultimate final gula. Is it going to be a gula shezachu open miracles like Yetzias Mitzrayim, Nisim Shulei B'Derech HaTeva? Is it going to be Gula Shalal Zachu, Kani Arechav HaChamar, which is going to be similar to the Gula of Purim, which is B'Derech HaTeva, Yumin Heshtadlis, Nisim HaNistarim, and they compare it to a person riding on a bumpy road, because when you're riding the bumpy road, you might get to your destination, but you sometimes have highs and lows, a geschmack, and sometimes you have falling down and things happen to you on the road. If that's the case, it's a rocky trip, painful trip, until you finally arrive at location. So this is the way the Vilna Gaon had learned the Gemara, two possibilities for the future. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, who lived before the Vilna Gaon, agreed 100%. And what he does, which the Gaon doesn't do, is upteich the pasuk we're going to see now in Parshas Balak in a way where the pasuk speaks to us and says even more, to the point that the psukim are going to be a mirror image of the Gemara in Masechtas Sanhedrin. What the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh does is says that Maimi Chazal in Masechtas Sanhedrin. What is the biblical source of the two gulas? The pasuk in Parshas Balak, which I'm going to read with you now inside, to show you a symmetry. Listen to this. Go back to quotation B, Rabbi Yisai. She'amru b'pasek b'ita achishenu, zachu achishenu la zachu b'ita. This is between A and B, right above B. And on page number 3, we're going back to page number 3 now, to the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. So he says, Zachu achishen lo zachu b'ita v'hu rachach muflag zeh l'cha'os hein anu b'tchilas meya v'shishis l'elef ha'shishi. He says very simply, we have a concept, the two types of gulas, b'ita and achishena. Now there's one other hakdom I have to mention before I go into him. There's a gemara of Avodah Zarah that I'm shocked he doesn't mention, but you have to understand that gemara to understand what he's talking about now. The Gemara says in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, the world was initially going to be a 6,000-year world. And how was it divided? The first 2,000 years are Tohu, total spiritual oblivion. The next 2,000 years, which happened to correspond to Avram's birth, until after Chum Bayis Sheni, is the 2,000 years of Torah. And the last 2,000 years, to the end of the 6,000, are called the years of Mashichius. Okay? The Gemara says, in Sanhedrin and other places, that we therefore have a 2,000-year span called the years of Mashichius, which began 150, 200 years after Chum Bayis Sheni, and extend Mamish to the end of time, to year 6,000 towards the end. What the Gemara meant, if we are Zocha, the Gula will take place in the beginning of those 2,000 years. And that is why Rabbi Kiva V'Chareir thought that Bar Kokhva was the Mashiach, because we now had reached, after Chumen Abayis Sheni, the beginning of those 2,000 years of Mashiachias. They saw Simanim in front of their eyes thinking, ah, this person has messianic capacities. So that's why initially the Gadol Adar, Rabbi Kiva Chaveirov, thought the beginning was a dar somehow that was Zachu, and therefore the seeing miracles over here, taking on the Roman legions and winning militarily and throwing him out of Erisa momentarily was something unheard of. So they looked upon this as a miraculous phenomenon. They thought it was a Gulash of Zachu, and therefore it's taking place in the early of the Tekufa. What basically Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, I live now in the beginning of the 1700s. We are far past the beginning of the 2,000 years of Mashiachis. If anything, we're now mamish in the beginning of almost the 6,000th year. Because if that's the case, Rabbi Yisai, we're not dealing over here with the Gula Shazachu. We're dealing now, Rabbi Yisai, with the Gula that seems to be pretty Mu'cheres. And therefore the question is, how Mu'uche is it going to be? Or how immediate is it going to be? And he seems to imply, we'll see very shortly, that even as late as that was in the 1700s, if the Mashiach would have come then, it still might have been under the concept of a belated schus, geula. It's only if we go all the way to the end, to the mamish end of the end, that's looked upon as the geula shalom zachu, And that's the way it's interpreted. So he says, it's quite obvious we're now Betchilas Mea Shishas, and therefore we're in pretty late in the 2,000 years of Mashiachias. So my conviction is this concept of Gula Shazachu Lo Zachu is Merumiz in the Psukim contained in Pashas Bolak and the Nevuah Abila. Kenegedim Zachu, Kenegid the Zachu, which means a spiritually meritorious Gula. Our Mother Teira says, Erenu, I see it. Perish, Ledavashini Osad Leimer, things that are going to happen, I see it possibly in the imminence of the beginning of the 2,000 years. Avu'ena Ata, but it's not taking place now in the Midbar, which means to say we haven't even got to that Tekufa yet. So he says that's one Zman. Ubizman ze el bizman achev yochlios shein rokh kolkach sha'ar muzal im ha yisrael chayzen betshuva, that if klal yisrael rabbeisa would be chayzen betshuva kish the starach hay nigala miyad, they literally rabbeisa would have been nigal immediately afilo lo yav alayim el yomecha begalus, even the only one day in galus yan chasham biyam tzara, that would have been sufficient to makayim the gzeres galus. Ukenegir haketz beita ama asherenu kamosha tzofa mirachok huomro lo karov ki haketz shal beita arach adam od bavanos. If it's the latter type of geula, Rabbi Sabita, which is shalom zachu, that's very, very far away, and therefore, because of the avonos, that is what we're basically heading. If that's what our mode's going to be. Which means what I'm telling you now is the first basics of this being a nevuah. The gula shozachu, gula shalozachu, which means he combines the pasuk in parts corresponding to the Gemara in Masech the Sanhedrin. But now he goes deeper. Listen to this. So kafal ha'inyan b'shin ha'lashem, there is Rabbi Yisai a multiplicity of lashayus that seem to be kfeilas ha'lashem. And he says, I'm now going to explain to you, based upon the Gemara Sanhedrin, what this means. She'amru, Shimti ha'gula b'emso zechus Yisrael. What's going to be the gula? Yiyeh hadava mufle b'mayla. Incredible, incredible dargis of wonders. V'yizgal ha'gol Yisrael min ha'shamayim. As if he's mamish going to appear from heaven. B'mayf his eyes. Like a person flying there, tremendous nisim neglayim. Ka'amr b'seif ha'zohar. And he brings, if you want to look at the Zohar, the various types of miracles the Zohar says is going to happen if it's a miraculous gula. But if we're going, Rabbi say, to the predestined end of days gula at the end of time, the last time gula can take place, which is the lo zachu, and yisrael u'yin lo, tiyo b'oifin acher, azeh nemar, ha'gol yo'yo'yo'yo'vo, ka'oni ha'reichiv al ha'chamar. So that's an indication, Rabbi Yisrael, of a non-mofsi type segula, that mashal, and therefore b'derech atev. For whom asha amru kan keneg gulas achishenu, she b'amtzeh zechus Yisrael, she ramez b'mayme er enu b'lata, v'ama darach koichev she yizrach ha-goyil min ha-shamayim, which means to say the lashonos, Rabbi Yisrael, of the gula are portrayed as shooting stars miraculously in the sky, things shooting up there. It says, come shave it, Mishrael. What does that mean? Sheyokum shave it echa Mishrael. One segment of Kairos is going to come together. Kederech hakam of oilam derech teva. The way people come together on a political level, b'derech ha'teva, al-derech amro, who are these people? U'shval anoshi mikimalei. The lowest breed of individuals are going to be involved in this geula. She'yavu k'oni reichav al-chamar v'yokam yimach yasem ash'amu b'samach, and they will cause the facilitation of the geula. Interesting. Shuffle hanoshi. Not the highest quality of the spiritual elite of Klal Yisrael, people on the other darga. The Vilna Gaon, in his parish to this, is almost identical. He doesn't quote the Rav Chaim HaKadosh. And what's interesting, he says in his parish, who are these aniyim, the reichei v'chamar, that is going to be a gula shelo zachu? He quotes a Zohar, the b'nei bonov of the Erev Rav. The einik lach of the Erev, means the same way the Erev Rav were rebellious against Torah v'mitzvos, their einik lach, thousands of years later on, are going to be the ones in a gula shelo zachu to lead Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Israel. The Nishfruma, the secular Zionists. I'm very serious, Rabbi. This is serious stuff. So the fact of the matter is, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh and the Vilna Gaon came to their respective opinions independently, that the two types of gulas, if it's the miraculous gula, the tzaddikim, the gedolei hadar, they're going to lead us back to that gula. Is the Dosha Lo Zachu, ironically, some of the major activists will be the Shval Anoshim, the Onei Rechav Alachamar, and the Adas, they're going to bring us back because of some desire to have to return to Eretz Israel, even without a religious flair. That's going to be the Metzius of that. But we're not finished yet. Listen to what Aruch Chaim says now. Listen to this. You ain't seen nothing yet, as we say. V'tam sheyiyad gulas achishena, shikachayv of Yaakov, gulas bita shiba ani liyisrael, shem kita sadiq. What bothers him is that if this is the correct shot in the pasuk, there are two words which seems to be out of place. In the gula shezachu, the term that should have been used is Yisrael, because Yisrael indicates people are Yashin Kel, people are very spiritually elite. A gula shalo yak, a shalo zachu, people on a nidrika level, the name Yaakov usually indicates a person on a lower spiritual plane. But the pasuk, if you notice, doesn't do it that way. In the gula shezachu, it mentions Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov. In the gula shelo zachu, it mentions Yisrael. So he's asking the question, it doesn't fit in with the motif of the pasuk. Doesn't seem to fit. Gavad de kakasha. Listen to what he says over here. Go back inside. So he says, Vus meintus. So he says, Nitzchavin loymer. When will we see miraculous gulas, Rabbi? So like stars, shooting stars, and tremendous feats of natural law. Klal Yisrael to have a gula shel zachu, he says, don't have to be gedolei hadar. If the majority of Klal Yisrael are beinonim, and the Shomer Torah Mitzvah, the majority of Jews are Shomer Torah of the Mitzvahs, not Gedolei Hadar. And that would be the matzav worldwide. That would be enough for Gula Shezachu to come in a miraculous way. Interesting. I wouldn't have said it, you wouldn't have said it, but he says that's what the Pasuk's teaching us. The Kolchav comes out, even if it's only been a Yaakov. Even if it's only been a Yaakov. Peledik. Yavav B'schusa. V'oyimah Darach Kolchav Yaakov. When it comes to the Gula Shel Zachu, we have a Shevet coming and basically leading us. If we're holding our Bosei at the end of days, and the majority of Klal Yisrael are assimilated and acculturated, the minority of minorities are Shomer Torah v'mitzvahs. They're the tzaddikim. The overwhelming majority, Rabbi say, in numbers, are not Shomer Torah v'mitzvahs. So the beinonim are not Shomer Torah v'mitzvahs. In that case, it's the small minority of Jews who are still holding on tight to Torah v'mitzvahs. Well, in that context of the tzaddikim, in their schus, Hashem will make sure the gula takes place, even though the majority of Klal Yisrael have assimilated in the culture. So over here, the concept you saw means a poor frumi yidden still around this world, the Shomer Torah mitzvahs. We, Rabbi Yisrael, are the last hope when it comes to the guarantee of the gula seder taking place. Shalei be'ita, I mean be'ita, forgive me, because the Rabban Hashem said, I have to be gol Klal Yisrael. The Gemara, in fact, in other places, quotes a posik in Sefer Yecheskel and Perek Lamevav and Lamed Zayin. When the Rabbi Hashem comes to a frustration, he says, even if Klal Yisrael at the end of time, when I have to do the Geula based upon my divine promises, are not worthy of the Geula, Lamani aseh for Hashem's shame, HaKadosh, that Hashem should not be looked upon as the divine God who promises and doesn't keep. Because of Chil Hashem in the eyes of the Umas Olam, Klal Yisrael's Amanivcha status, even if you're not Zalcha, Lamani aseh, the Gula is going to take place. So what this Maimer tells us over here is that the schus of the miyat of Klal Yisrael Hashem Yitev Mitzvahs, at the end of the day, that's a Be'ita. The Pasuk in Cheskel says, even if perhaps that doesn't exist, because the divine promise that the Hashem cannot be Chayzer, Lamani aseh, but it will take place, and it will take place, and you'll see the Gula taking place.
Now, you are listening to Ben's
Torah. What is interesting and fascinating, Rabbi Yisai, is he says also as a possibility the next paragraph, which I want to, then I'm going to get into the bigger picture. Dara Kachem Yaakov, Al Mashiach Ben David. He says, who is going to be the Mashiach personality the Pasuk's referring to? If it's a Gula Shezachu, he says, there you're not going to have two Mashiachios, Mashiach Ben Yais and Mashiach Ben David. David's Mashiachios will come B'chvay Dabi Yatzmo, and that's in the first, Shalai B'darech HaKeva. V'aymra Kam Shev Yisrael, who is that referring to, Gula Shezachu, that this first is going to have to come a Mashiach of Ben Ephraim, or Ben Yosef, and then the other Mashiach will come later on. He points out over here that when it comes to Mashiach Ben Ephraim and Mashiach Ben Yosef, he's called by two different ways, the spiritual merit of Klal Yisrael will determine if Mashiach Ben Yosef is killed or survives his tekufa. And he brings down the Gemara in Masechtas Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis, Amud Aleph, where there is a Mesiris of Klal Yisrael being maspid at the end of time, Elavai being done for Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben Ephraim, because of the earlier wars taking place in the Bias HaMashiach Tekufa. So he says over here, Shehargenu Romulus, who some say is an allusion to the Gog and Magog Milchama, whether that will depend, what happened, that will depend upon the level of Yisrael Tzadikim in that Zman. It could be we'll have enough people who are Shemir Terem Mitzvahs and volunteering such that even the Mashiach ben Ephraim will be saved from any type of Misa, depending upon what's happening at that point in time, from Rachmi HaShemayim. And Klaz Levakish, Rachmi Mashiach Ben Ephraim, Shalei Nerga B'Milcham. Okay, now, Rabbi Yisai, this is, therefore, the portrayal of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh of two possible Gula scenarios taking place. This is, he says, is the Pshat of the Pasuk in Balak. The Balak's telling us, Les Nevuah, this is what could happen at the end of days. There are two possibilities, depending upon the dog of the Jews. That will determine the level. The Vilna Gaon was maskim 100%, so about 50, 60 years later on, after the Sefer was written, with the same exact thing when it comes to his Perushim. So the question is, how did the Gedolei Yisrael throughout history look upon this topic, and what were their perceptions? I already pointed out to you that in the Tekufa of Rabbi Kiva, which was X amount of years after Churban Bayis Sheni, they thought initially it was going to be a Gula Shezachu, seeing miracles in military conflict and other things taking place, which they looked upon as miraculous. So they thought it was going to be a Gula Shezachu. What is interesting historically, Rabbi Yisai, I'm skipping now from 200 years after Churban Bayis Sheni, I'm skipping quickly to the Tekufa of the 1100s. By the time the 1100s came around, and you have personalities like the Ramban coming on the scene, the 1100s, the 1200s, you have personalities like David Kimchi, the Radak, coming on the scene. In their respective Sfarim, the Radak in his Perish the Sefer Tehillim, and the Ramban in his Perish the Shir HaShirim, gave their assumption, their assessment of what's going to happen. And in your Maran HaKemis Rabbi Yisrael, I want you to turn quickly to page number 5. Because in page number 5, on quotation A, on the right hand side, I have the Lashon Hazav of the Ramban from his Perish the Shir HaShirim, and the Perish of the Radak from the Sefer Tehillim. Look at the top piece. The Ramban says, Berishya Malchi Umas Uba Ezrasa, Yelchi Israel, Eretz Israel, which means through the permission given by the Umas Eilat, and with their help, Klal Yisrael Elden got redemption at the end of time. Now, if you say that, Rabbi, V'tia Malchus Nimshech Tzvein HaPasekus Olam, that's the ultimate redemption. For him to say that, what type of gula is he referring to? A gula Shelo Zachar. Because Rishiyah Malchus B'derech Etev only takes place like the Purim Dikit type of gula, of a gula Shelo Zachar. He said this in the 1100s, where there was no such thing as a United Nation, any type of United Goyish entity, to give us back anything. And think about it, the Crusades, on that thing, people were taking from us, they weren't giving us anything. But he says, that's going to be. The Radak says in the piece right underneath this, and from Perish and Tehillim, Kasev al tiftechu benedivim ve'odim she'en lo tshua, ki la'ashem levadu ha'tshua, Hu yisavavenu al yidei b'nei adam, kemo shesiba tshuas galus bavol al yidei karesh, ki la'asad yisavav gul yisrael al yidei malchei ha'goyim, shira ha'shem shruchen lo shalcha. What does he make a comparison to what happened by Purim and Rabbi Yisai and what's going to happen in the future? A gula shelo zochel by us being basically post-active over here, going to the Goyish of El to have geopolitical control, asking them to help us, give us back Eretz Israel, and he uses the model of Purim by Koresh, a Kedemer, as the dimion of the gula asel avel. These gadolim lived in the Kufa Rabbi Yisai, near to Kufa, it was an impossibility of seeing that Messiah take place. But it showed the Ruach HaKodesh of these two independent Gedolim, independently coming to the conclusion, looking at the facts on the ground, it looks like we're heading to Gula Shelo Zachu, and therefore it's going to be like a Purim Dika Gula in their specific assessment. To save time, Rabbi Yisai, I'm running now from the 1100s to the 1700s. When the Vilna Gaon was asked the question, what type of Gula Rebbe is it going to be? So the Gaon made the following quotation recorded by his Talmidim. He says, it appears to me it's a Gula Shelo Zachu, which means he confirmed the suppositions of the Ramban and the Radak and others. And therefore, if that's the case, we have to be solicitous, we have to be proactive at Derech HaTeva, we have to bring the land back to us the same way Klal Yisrael at the time of beginning of Bayis Sheni did all the, what they had to do to solicit the authorities and physically Meval and Bnei Yisrael, but Derech HaTeva without miraculous intervention. That's why the Vilna Gaon gave a tzav to all of his Talmidim. We got to leave Europe now, make Aliyah to Eretz Israel. You have to start fertilizing the ground, developing the agriculture, build the physical yisod of Eretz Israel, and build the spiritual yisod. He therefore caused the Aliyah of all of his Talmidim to go to Eretz Israel. That's why in all the cities in Eretz Israel, there's always a shul that's a Gaon shul. Because that's his Talmidim settled all over. They therefore made a nusach of the Gaon, which exists to this very day. The Hagam of the Gaon are very heavy in Eretz Israel. Ironically, the biggest Baal Machloikis of the Gaon of that time was the Baal Shem Tov. And without asking the Gaon, because there was no collaboration between them, he told his Talmidim the same exact thing. I want you to make Aliyah to Eretz Israel, build the religious infrastructure. That's why the Baal Shem Tov and Chassidus, at the same time the Gaon and his Talmidim started making this soul on their Hashkafic level, his Talmidim did the same exact thing. Because they saw things happening about Eretz Israel. One of the things they saw, Rabbi Yisai, which people don't highlight. What did they see? There were no Ummus Olam to give us back anything at that point in time. But what did the Gaon see to indicate there's a change from Golos and the beginning of Geula? What did he see? So Chazal, so you know what the Gaon saw. I want you now to turn back momentarily to page number 4. I taught many times over the years that if you want to determine whether in a Geula mode or a Golos mode, Chazal give us a very simple simon. You know when it's a Geula mode? If Eretz Israel is functioning as an Eretz Zavas Chalav Devash. And all the brachas mentioned in Sefer Devarim about the beauty of Eretz Israel, Pashas Ekev and Rei, all those brachas are being Makuyim. Eretz Shalach Sechzeba Kedemer. That's a simon we're in a Geula mode. Was a simon of a Golos mode. When even Klal Yisrael on Eretz Israel find the place uninhabitable, the agricultural crops are dying, not prospering, it is a state of Shemama, that is a simon from God. You're in a state of Golos, Rabbi Yisrael. Even if you want to live in Eretz Israel, you're not going to be able to survive there. So shemaman, lack of agriculture, lack of zavaskalav adavash, the opposite is a simen of golus. Up until the time of the Vilna Gaon, there were straggling Jews who made aliyat eretz, yechide hasagula, but the land was not too cooperative. It was full of swamps. They weren't able to develop. The land was shemen. The Ramban gives a record when he got to eretz in the 1270s. He says he's never seen a shmama on the level that he sees in Eretz. The land that was the Eretz of Asalav and Davash, the level of shmama is mind-boggling. That continued until the 1700s. The Gaon saw there were Yidlach, private Yidlach, making elite Eretz as private citizens, and all of a sudden the swamplands they started to agriculturally develop started to sprout once again in Eretz of Asalav and Davash. There's a change. Up until now, it was not able to be agriculturally developed. Now there's a change. So it came to the Gaon, a light went on his mind. Look at the Gemara on page 4, quotation A. How do you know, in quotation 4A, how do you know there's a simon of Geula? So the Gemara says in quotation 4A on the top of the page, oh, Rabbi Lezer says, Amar Rababa, Ein lecha keitz negula mizeh, Shenema atem hare Yisrael anafchem titenu upirichem tisul am Yisrael. Look in quotation B of the Rashi. Megul mizeh kishititen eretzah piria be'en yofer oz yekarev haketz ein loch haketz megul yoseh. When you see the land once again, as the psukim say in Sefer Yecheskel, that it's becoming an eretz of avchalav davash all over, when you see the change of Shmama to Perayam, there's no greater simin that the Golos is over and the Gula has begun. This Gemara went off in the mind of the Gaon. He saw people agriculturally, Jews, going there developing it. Ah! This, with the term of the Gemara, Kates Magula, has arrived. Kindalach, go immediately, because the Gula has begun. That was the Ruach HaKodesh of the Gaon and of the Baal Shem Tov. Now, yes. Absolutely. I don't have it over here, but I can show you, tell you where to look. I'll tell you where to look. Now, but we're now just getting warmed up, Rabbi. Now, historically, we're in the 1700s. I'm now going to jump to the 1800s. The greatest Rosh Hashiva in the 1800s was none other than the Netziv. He was the Yerush of the famous Volozhin Yeshiva, Rechaim of Volozhin. He was the last Rosh Hashiva that was there. And the question is, what was his attitude to all the Yidolach running to Eretz Yisrael and building Eretz Yisrael at that point in time? What was his reaction to this? What's going on over here? So something that's not taught in the Yeshivas, but I'm going to quote you now what the Netziv said. So let me just quote you what he says. Listen very carefully. So the Netziv says the following. The Netziv says that something's happening over here. I also want to mention one other thing. That the Netziv's, one of his Tamidim of Hakim, was Rav Kook. I don't know if you know that. Rav Kook was one of the Tamidim of Hakim of the Netziv. I don't know if you know that. The Rav Kook's, one of Rav Kook's biggest Tamidim is Rav Hutna from Chaim Berlin. I don't know if you know that. So the fact of the matter is, the Netziv, when he saw the following phenomenon, that they were making open appeals throughout Russia, which was not too much all of Israel, about collecting monies for Binyan Eretz Yisrael and doing whatever they can, what he noticed is the Tsar of Russia did not intervene. The Jews were openly building Eretz Yisrael, supplying it and going through, and the Tsar, which was an anti-Semitic Enkomo, wasn't saying anything. So says the Netziv, what must this be? That the Rabbeinu Shalom was Mashana the Lev of the Tsar, he said. This I'm now reading what the Netziv wrote. And his exalted ministers. So if they ever see his letter, he will see how he's being Mashabeach them. And he's allowing us to form a company to gather money to support our brethren who are working to build Eretz Yisrael, the craftsmen in Eretz Yisrael. The committee acts with the knowledge and accordance to the government of Russia and its laws. And this is a sign from Hashem, he says, the Nitziv talking, that Hashem wants us at this point to settle Eretz Israel and build it once again. So what the Nitziv did is he once again confirmed the Tzav of the Vilna Gaon from the 100 years before. And it's not Chiddush, because Rechaim V'Elazar was one of the greatest Talmidim of the Gaon. They're both Rosh Hashivas, tail ends of the same yeshiva, so Kulav Yechaim Olajin's Hashkafis from the Gaon Kulavis would transfer to him. So this is the Yad Hashem, and therefore he says, I am telling you, if that's the case, anybody, any gadol, any person has an obligation out to make sure that we help HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the activities of Binyan Eretzrael, using your monies, your resource, your talents. We got to be proactive to build Eretz Israel. This is Nitziv seeing what's going on, the success, and encouraging. It's the Rabbeinu Shem Ziad who's doing this. Now, I also want to mention to you that when the Chafetz Chaim was apprised by his son, because he lived in the break of the beginning of the 1900s, was Titzach in Eretz Israel. So what the Chafetz Chaim said, this quite obviously is indicative. It's going to be Gula Shel Azochu through the Rishon HaMalchus. And if that's the case, the Gula Shel Azochu, we got to be proactive. He told his son, give out a tzav, everybody should start buying land tracts in Eretz Israel and start moving there if possible. He looked upon this, the Chafetz Chaim, as this is the Gula Shel Azochu when it comes to the future. However, you need some light here. Sam. Sun wants to stare us over here.
What do you want to say the main light?
One second.
Interesting, it's interesting that...
We have the light. The light came, the light shone upon us. Now, the most powerful Simen Muka Buvik over here happened, Rabbi Yisai, after the Balfour Declaration. In 1917 had the Balfour Declaration. And I can tell you right now, historically, not only secular Jews were mishtabel with the British government for them to give us Eretz Israel, Palestine back as a Jewish homeland, but there were many Aguda members who also were mishtabel in Britain and other parts of Europe for them to have Rachmanis to give the Jews back a piece of Palestine as a Jewish homeland. In 1917, the King of England acquiesced, and he told, quite obviously, his secretary of state to write a letter on his behalf telling the Jewish people that he will facilitate to make sure under his jurisdiction, because geopolitically at that time Palestine was under Britain, to help create a Jewish state for the Jewish people once again. This Balfour direction by the Secretary of State Balfour was given over to Rothschild. That was a major activity. About 5-6 years later on, when you had the first international body of Goyim coming together, what was that called, Rabbi Yisai? The League of Nations. The first topic the League of Nations took up was whether or not they're going to confirm the Balfour Declaration or not. And after the debate and the discussion, they confirmed they're going to basically adhere. In the year of July 24th, 1922, they made what is called the Palestine Mandate. In fact, I have, if you want to look up on the computer, put in the League of Nations Palestine Mandate on Google and you'll get the same copy I have in front of me. It delineates how they're taking the concept of the Balfour Declaration and implementing it by the Heskim of the Umas Eilam. So you now have taking in front of you what the Ramban said and the Radak said, what the Gaon said and others. Gula Shalav Zachu, where the Rishon HaMalchis is going to allow us to return to Eretz Israel, happening in front of your eyes. Now, since you want to see things inside, in your Maram HaKoy, Mr. Rabbi Yisrael, in front of you, I purposely photostated the Ar Sameach's reaction to this. Turn, Rabbi Yisrael, quickly to page number 6. On page number 6, the Ar Sameach, who was the Litvish Gadol Hadar at that time in Europe, when he saw what happened, Rabbi Yisrael, in the League of Nations, look at the quotation 2 on the right-hand side on top of the page. 6-2 on the right-hand side. Kazer Ameya Simcha Medevinsk. Anum Keis By the fact that the Goyim are even entertaining us to come back and give us the land, the concept of not rebelling against the Umas Olam and taking it by force no longer exists. Those Shvuos in the Gemara and Ksubis, the famous Gimel Shvuos, Shol Yabachayma, Shol Yermodu, that stuff don't exist anymore, because we're not forcing them, we're not taking it by force. The Umas Olam are coming and giving it back to us. Kvasor Pachar Hashuos, Bereishin HaMalachim, Kama Mitzvah Yisrael, Kama. Once again, it's been revitalized, this specific mitzvah. Interesting. What is interesting, Rabbi says, one other gadol, because I'm limited my time tonight, and that is, that's a Litvish gadol. What about the Hasidish gadol? That's the Hasidish gadol sequel. So the gadol that I'm going to quote now is a tzaddik kador of Europe of those years, the great Ostrovsa Rebbe. The Rebbe in Europe who fasted for 40 years to try to prevent the Holocaust from taking place, the same way Tzaddik HaKayan during Bayis Sheni fasted. He fasted in his time. And when the anti-Zionists came to him to sign on a piece of paper, he's against the secular Zionist movement, he threw him out of his house. And he said, the Rabbeinu Shalom is causing a Geula, Shalom Zochu, to take place. And you're telling me in the Rabbeinu Shalom that you don't like it and you want it a different way, and if you don't have it the way you want it, take it back? And he says, if you want to know why I'm so adamant, he quotes a Medrash Chazal that's the Makkah B'Patash. Look at quotation 4. He quotes a Medrash Tanchuma. Esachazir zu edom. The Medrash usually quotes Pesukim from Tanakh, telling every nation, every ethnic group has an animal that represents it in Tanakh. When it came to Malchus Edom, the Medrash says the Chazir, the pig, is its representation. Lama Nikra Shema Chazir, he's now quoting the Medrash in the Tatruma. Shemachzeres Atara Labala. It's going to bring back the crown to its owner in the future. And the following now is this is the Ostrovsa Rebbe's interpretation of the Medrash. Shenis Nabu, the Chazal and Medrash gave in Nevuah. Al Hanotzrim Yichbushu Kedem Agula. Es Eretzom Yad HaYishma'elim. Vehem Yachziren El Yisrael Kamo Shereinu Shemiskayim Ata Bizmanenu. The Nevuah is that the Christian world, which are the Yarshim of the Edom Empire, the Roman Empire became a Christian empire, which became basically the Western environment, the Western universe of the European continent. The Nevuah is the Notrim are going to come at a certain point in time and take the land back from the robber barons, the Yishmaelim who robbed it from the Jews. They are, at the end of days, going to return it back to the Jews. That's Machzeres Atala Labala. And the Nevuah, with what's happening now, with what's happening in St. Remo, with the League of Nations and the Balfour, that is a team of the Nevuah taking place in front of our eyes. Get out of my house. Don't tell the Rabbeinu Shem what to do. He knows better. And therefore, let's go forward. This was the Ostrovsa Rebbe. Two other Gedolim that I just want to mention. Number one is the famous Avnei Nezer, who was the Hasidish Gadol of his time. He also saw it the same exact way. Those shvus don't apply anymore. And he encouraged, as being a head of a Hasidic dynasty, besides being a gadol of a Pesach, the Avnei Nezer. I mean, the Lamedish world, even the Litvish should call the Avnei Nezer in their Lamedish. The Rav used to call the Avnei Nezer. That there's a mitzvah to return to Eretz Yisrael, and there's no question about it. And I can go down and give you many, many other names. But the fact of the matter is, the Nevuah of Pashas Balak, a Nevuah B'Sof Yomim, of Shalom Zachar, B'derech HaTeva, very similar to the Gula of Purim, which was said as a pshat in the Pasuk, Merum is in the Gemara, Masechta Sanhedrin, ultimately became in the eyes of these Gedolei Hador, the Metzias, or what happened starting in the 1700s, the 1800s, the 1900s, and what's happening now. And that is why, Rabbi, you say, whether they want to admit it or not, when the Hakamas HaMedina was announced by Ben-Gurion against the will of secularists and religiousness, everybody was mamish chapping a pachat. What's going to happen to us? The famous Erev Shabbos. What is interesting is at that time, Rav Unterman received a letter from the Briska Rav. But the Briska Rav didn't say to him, it's us, a B'teres, establishing Eretz before the Mashiach time. He didn't say, I'm answering you, B'teres, that. It's not us because of that. I'm concerned that since we don't have an army to defend ourselves, as soon as we make the declaration, the Arab world will pounce upon us, will be destroyed, so whatever Yisha we have in Eretz Israel will be totally decimated. Despite the fear of the Briska Rav, Ben Gurion did what he did. The day, mamish the day and day afterwards, the Arab world declared war. And what happened was, Rabbi Yisai, in Washington, D.C., the beloved State Department, who always were Arabists, going back to who knows how when, told Truman, it's just going to be a couple of days before the Arabs will take care of the Jewish problem in Palestine. They shouldn't bother us anymore. And therefore, let's just wait, and the Arabs will come down, they'll get rid of all the Jews. You know, this was the obvious Israel that existed. 2 years later on, when the Arabs begged us for an armistice, which means we won the Hakamas HaMedina war, what was the reaction of Agudas Israel's Gedolim, which is recorded in their specific books? Me'eis Hashem Hoyes Azos, Hineflos Beinenu. What we just witnessed is the Rabbanu Shalom, after thousands of years, returning us back to Eretz Israel. It's Nishkai Maisa Satan, as some wanted to say, this is the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, for those who don't believe me, how can I go to say anything like that? I purposely brought along a sheet just to read what they said. We'll finish this to share with it, Rabbi Yisai, just to finish off the shir tonight. Where is the little piece of paper over here? I thought I had it with me. I don't have it with me. I do have it with me. In it, Rabbi Yisai, what basically Agudah says is that we have, oh, here, is it here? There? That's all, here it is. Okay. What the Agudah said is, this is a quote from their specific places. And the Good Israel made the following declaration. The world that Good Israel sees this historic event, the decision of the nations of the world to return to us after 2,000 years, a portion of Eretz Israel, to establish a Jewish state, to encompass within the borders that was banished from members of our people for so many years. The historic event brings home to every Jew the realization that Rabbanu Shalom brought this about. This is Me'eis Hashem Hoyes Azos. It's an act of divine providence, and it's a great task and a great test. Therefore, he says, we have a responsibility of joining the government now and working in unison with the government to make sure that Eretz Yisrael is established not only as a Jewish homeland on a national level, but we bring Torah and mitzvahs into it as well. That was the attitude of the Mo'etzes HaGadol Yisrael at that point in time. One of the heads of the Mo'etzes at that time was Rav Zalman Suratskin. Zalman Suratskin, from the famous Suratskin Mishpacha, Rabbi Yisai, he happens to be the one who wrote the Perish on Chumash, you know, what is it called again? Mizraim L'Teira, Mizraim L'Mishpah, when it comes to his Hishelos and Shuvis. He was an incredible Oyev Eretz Israel, and things that he wrote about Eretz Israel and his Sfarim, some yeshivas that don't want to read it. In some places when they translated the Sefer, they cut out those parts. Now I'm very serious about it. The fact is, they saw the Yad Hashem, those Gedolim saw the Yad Hashem as a manifestation of Gula Shelo Zachu. We need human Ishtadlus. And therefore, the Nevuah mentioned by the Aruch HaMakadosh and the Gaon, and earlier by the Rishonim, the Radak and the Rabban and others, we are living through that dream at this point in time, Rabbi Yisai. This is no Maisa Satan. This is a Gula Shelo Zachu, but when it's Gula Shelo Zachu, Rabbi Yisai, remember, you don't have open nisim negloyim like you see as Mitzrayim. It's human ishtadlus. It's ka'onav ani harechav alachamar, which means two things. Number one, the leadership could be the shval hanoshim, the bnei banav of the erev rav. So you can't use that as a simon. It's not a good geula. And number two, they're going to be ups and downs. You're going to feel every bump in the road. Sometimes you're riding high. Sometimes you'll have yiridos, those things happening. But we're going forward. there is a matara. Torah is being learned on Eretz on levels that never existed even in Europe in the best of days. Torah, the military capacity, Rabbi said, I want to end with this. The military capacity for the Jews over a thousand years to defend themselves, and the world should be afraid of our military power, since the Gullus of Chumbay Sheni never existed. Never existed. Rav Kasha brings down, and I have this also in my comments, and I'll end with this. Turn, Rabbi said, quickly to page number 6. You're on that page, on the left hand side of the page. Rav Kasha found in quotation 9, in a Medrash Hashirim, on the Shavuos Hashem's Mashbiah, on Teiru and Teres Avash Atechbots, that the same Rabbi Sai Pasik Bechal Zaldash in the east of the three Shavuos, he found the following Medrash. Ad Shetachbots HaMalchus Limsa Cherub Yetchem, which means, when the Umas Eilam Yitain Rishus L'Am Yisrael Hagen Atzmav Yaspaku Neshek, when the Goyim of the world will supply the Jews with the weaponry, the armaments, to defend themselves and be able to survive in this world on their own, that means the Mashiach is right around the corner. Rabbi said, we have never had a tekufa like this. The Binyan Eretz Yisrael, the fruition of the land, the amount of habatzas, the terror taking place, that doesn't mean we're not threatened, the gul shel lo zachu, there's always a derech teva back and forth, anagereichet. But the motif, Rabbi said, of self-defense and ability to survive in the most dangerous nation on the face of the earth, the neighbor of the world, this is only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Gula Shalom Zachu. Halavai Rabbi, so we should see the finality of the Gula Shalom Zachu. We're doing this with these, Mashiach Tekeinu, Amen, the Amen.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.